Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I'm going to cover in this psalm, Psalms 136. I will entitle the psalm, His Loving Kindness is Everlasting. And it has been extraordinarily easy to choose a title for this psalm because that phrase, His loving kindness is everlasting, is in all 26 verses of the psalm. 26 times that phrase is repeated. His loving kindness is everlasting. So that's what we're going to call the psalm. There is no heading to the psalm, and so we don't know who the psalmist is. I will just refer to him as the psalmist. We start now in verses 1 through 9 of Psalms 136. The psalmist begins, Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the heavens with skill, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the great lights, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule by day, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Now that gets a shade repetitious when you read it. However, as the NIV Study Bible says, the repetitions were very effective when the psalm was sung. The repetitions included everyone in worship. They were antiphonal responses to the worship leader. So if you imagine a courtyard, and on the left side you got the worship leader, some Levite, saying, Give thanks to the God of gods. Then from the other side of the courtyard, all the people gathered together say, For his loving kindness is everlasting. And then 26 times that goes on. And so it gives sort of a choral effect to the psalm. Now that phrase, his loving kindness is everlasting, Adam Clark says, may be translated, For his tender mercy is to the coming age. Of course, the coming age to a Jew would be the Messianic age. And of course, to a Jew, the coming age would be the Messianic age. Clark says that this phrase, translated this way, for his tender mercy is to the coming age, may be prophetic of the coming age of the Messiah, Jesus. Well, I don't know about that. I don't think we need to look for Messianic psalms or Messianic scriptures in the Old Testament. There are plenty of them. I don't think we need to look for Messianic psalms or Messianic scriptures in the Old Testament. There are plenty of them. We don't have to add speculative verses to our collection. Now, here's some other scriptures which say the same thing. His loving kindness is everlasting. Psalms 118, the author of which is unknown, verses 1 through 4, says this, Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. O let Israel say, His loving kindness is everlasting. O let the house of Aaron say, His loving kindness is everlasting. O let those who fear the Lord say, His loving kindness is everlasting. That's the first four verses of Psalms 118. We can drop down to verse 29 of Psalms 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. We also read in 1 Chronicles 16:41, with them were Heman and Jeduthun. Those were two Levitical worshipers, Levitical worship leaders. With them were Heman and Jeduthun and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name, to give thanks to the Lord, because his loving kindness is everlasting. We read in 2 Chronicles 7:3, All the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground. This is during the dedication of Solomon's temple. And they worshipped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, Truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. Drop down three verses to 2 Chronicles 7:6. The priest stood at their post, and the Levites also, with the instruments of music to the Lord, which King David had made for giving praise to the Lord. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Whenever he gave praise by their means, while the priest on the other side blew trumpets and all Israel was standing. That's referring to Solomon, not David. The instruments were made by David, but David was dead now, and Solomon's dedicating the temple, and all the priests and the Levites were singing, His loving kindness is everlasting. Also in Psalms 106 verse 1, we read this, words from an unknown author. Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Folks, I think we can say without a shadow of doubt that the scriptures clearly state that God's loving kindness is everlasting. That should put the end to any skeptic or confused Christian who says that the Old Testament doesn't have mercy in it, doesn't have love in it. God is a God of wrath. He never shows his love. I would respond to that person by saying this. His loving kindness is everlasting. Read the Bible. Now that word loving kindness is the English translation of chesed, the Hebrew chesed. That word is translated 239 times in the English Standard Version. One of those times doesn't count because it's translated as disgrace. Don't ask me why. But the other 238 times translated by the ESV produce English words such as this: steadfast love, beauty, devotion, devout, faithfulness, favor, good deeds, kind, kindly. So loving kindness, or its English equivalent, is everywhere in the Old Testament. That same Old Testament which ignorant people says gives an account only of an angry, vengeful God. Now in verse 2, the psalmist says, give thanks to the God of gods. That phrase can be found in Deuteronomy 10:17, for the Lord your God is the God of gods. Now Adam Clark says that gods there might apply to priests and spiritual rulers. That word sometimes is a little g god. In fact, it's a little g god here. It can refer to idols, but it can also refer to big shots, leaders, spiritual rulers, priests. Sometimes it applies to political leaders too. If you take it in that broad sense, then God is the God of those people also, in addition to idols. Now, strictly speaking, God is not the God of an idol, because idols don't worship God, but they are subject to God. So you could say God is the God of gods, which means they're bending their knee and confessing that God is God, even though they don't want to. In Deuteronomy 10:17, we also read that the Lord your God is the Lord of lords. Our psalmist in verse 3 says the same thing. He says, give thanks to the Lord of lords. In other words, if you can think of all the political leaders in the ancient Near East, God is over them. He's the head of them. In verse 6, the psalmist says, to him who spread out the earth above the waters. That is, of course, a reference to Genesis. Genesis 1:9 says this, then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. Basically, the dry land probably was thrust up into the water and above the surface of the water, thus creating dry land. And so, when the psalmist says in verse 6, who spread out the earth above the waters, that's what he means. The earth is thrust up above the waters and then makes continents. King David, when he wrote Psalms 24:2, also said the same thing. For God has founded the earth upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. The earth runs between the rivers and on top of the seas. In verse 7 of Psalms 136, our psalmist says, to him who made the great lights. That's referring to the sun and the moon, which were created in Genesis. Genesis 1 verse 14 says this, then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. That's the sun and the moon, the lights. And then that is made clearer in verse 8, the sun to rule by day. That's one of the great lights. And then verse 9, the moon and the stars. Those are the other great lights mentioned in verse 9. So verse 8, the sun to rule by day, we see that, and the moon being created also in Genesis 1:16. God made the two great lights, that's the sun and the moon, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light, that's the moon, to govern the night. He made the stars also. So our psalmist is basically running through Genesis in verses 1 through 9 of Psalms 136. We move now to Psalms 136, verses 10 through 26, and we will be finished with our exposition of this psalm. Verse 10, the psalmist begins, to him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and brought Israel out from their midst, for his loving kindness is everlasting, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his loving kindness is everlasting, to him who divided the Red Sea asunder, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his loving kindness is everlasting. But he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who smote great kings, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And slew mighty kings, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And Og, king of Bashan, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And gave their land as a heritage, for his loving kindness is everlasting. even a heritage to Israel his servant, for his loving kindness is everlasting, who remembered us in our low estate, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and has rescued us from our adversaries, for his loving kindness is everlasting, who gives food to all flesh, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. So basically, we moved on from Genesis and gone through to the story of the Exodus, interspersed with 17 expressions of his loving kindness is everlasting. The psalmist starts in verse 10 with the story of the Exodus. To God who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn, that of course was the 10th plague on Egypt, and brought it, and verse 11, brought Israel out from their midst. Verse 12, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, that of course, probably referring to Moses who was constantly stretching forth his hand with his rod. Or it could just refer to God having a strong hand and an outstretched arm as he reaches out to help the Israelites. Verse 13, to him who divided the Red Sea, for his loving kindness is everlasting. So the Exodus shows God's loving kindness. And then verse 14, Israel passed through the midst of it. Verse 15, God overthrew Pharaoh and the army in the Red Sea. Verse 16, God led his people through the wilderness. And of course, God did that with a pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Also, the angel Jehovah, which was Yahweh in human form, probably Jesus, leading the way. Verse 17, God smote great kings. That would refer to the destruction of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. Sihon mentioned in verse 19 and Og in verse 20. Those, of course, were the two kings on the east of the Jordan River that Moses destroyed before Joshua led the Israelites across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan. Sihon was king of the Amorites. They were the middle kingdom right north of Moab. Moab was on the south. The Amorites were just north of Moab, about halfway up the Jordan River Valley. In the north of the Amorites were the people of Bashan, who were roughly east of the Sea of Galilee. All of this is recorded in Numbers 21, verses 21 through 35. Should you have a uncontrollable desire to learn about these conquests. Og, of course, was the famous king that was so big he had an iron bed that the Israelites expropriated. Now, these two kings are mentioned in our psalm here in verses 19 and 20. There were other kings conquered too, which might have been included in this phrase in verse 17, great kings. God slew mighty kings or great kings. There were 31 kings in the land of Canaan, but they were petty kings. The psalm here says that the kings who were slain by God were great kings, mighty kings, and Og and Bashan would fit that description. In verse 23, God is said to have remembered the Israelites in their low estate. If you think about it, the Israelites were in a low estate for a long time in many different situations. For example, when they were in Egypt, they were slaves. When they were on the Exodus, that wasn't in such a hot position either. They were wandering through the desert. In the time of the judges, they were oppressed by all the foreign nations around the land of Canaan. How about during the Babylonian captivity, which I'm sure comes after the time of this psalm, but they were in a lower state then. But God's loving kindness is everlasting. He stayed with them. Folks, we are now finished with Psalms 136, and this psalm is definitely a praise psalm. This psalm should get you out of the mulligrubs if you are feeling low, because God's loving kindness is everlasting. We're now prepared to go to our next psalm, which is Psalms 137. I shall entitle that psalm, How Shall We Sing the Lord's Song? I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.